Gaming Uncensored is brought to you by Colonel Duff. Duff, helping a random handicapped guy in the middle of nowhere. Only on Gaming Uncensored.
Controlling transmission.
Divided by 1,000 miles of barren wasteland, two men mysteriously linked by alien technology on a podcasting mission to boldly deliver video game news and views directly to your brain. This is Gaming Uncensored. Now, your Gaming Uncensored guides, the dynamic duo, the video game gurus, a man on wheels, and a Yeti with a modem, Jamie and Tommy.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. How you doing? My name is Jamie Jordan, and this is an early edition of Gaming Uncensored. It's not really that early, but I had to get up early to be here.
That's right.
And of course, Tommy's sitting over there. What's up, man?
Not much. We're doing a Saturday morning show. We've just been all over the place the past couple of weeks.
We haven't done that in a long time.
But, note, count them four weeks in a row.
Four! That's amazing!
It's been spread out a little bit from week to week, but still, I mean, it is 4 weeks in a row that we've had an official show.
You know what? You know what's going to happen now, right? Some sort of like major catastrophe.
Everything's going to fall apart.
Yeah, like it's all about to be over.
Yeah.
That's what's going to happen. But four weeks in a row.
We have been doing good so far, so... we're going to keep it up. That said, we got big news to talk about because Nintendo had a Nintendo Direct this past week that was pretty newsy, and so we're going to cover all that stuff. But let me mention here, because the real fun thing that we also did this week, we just got all kinds of content, we actually watched the Nintendo Direct live and recorded ourselves and put that up on Patreon.
We tried.
It worked. It took some work to make it work, but it worked. And so if you want to see our real-time reactions to everything we're talking about in this show, go by Patreon, gamingunsensored.com, click that Become a Patron link. I think it's really entertaining. I really enjoyed that. I thought that was super fun.
We need to do that more often. We need better remote podcasting technology. Yes. or I need to like throw my computer out the window and just start over.
Yeah.
I'm at the point now where I feel like it's time for a new rig just so our tech can work. Like, I don't know what kind of gremlin is in my system, but there's something.
It was as soon as we agreed to do weekly shows again, like to like make good on Feels paying us money to be here, that your computer was like, now I can throw a wrench in this whole thing. And
yes, and it did.
It did.
It has.
It's been a horrible pain every single show, but we're here. We got
yes.
We've theoretically got video recording, and so if you want to watch us on this episode as well, go by the Patreon too. By the way, just shout out to the guys while we're talking about it. Cabbage Jose, Narc Duff, Josh, Hector, Spider, Spencer, Kvash, Chad, Zeke, Chris, Brigham, Sam, and Andrew. Thank you guys. Hope you enjoyed the extra content for you guys that are over there. And so come hang out with us. Get some extra content. It's good stuff.
Yes. There is lots of stuff over there. We really, really enjoyed doing that Nintendo show. It was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. A
lot of major surprises. So if you haven't seen it, you're in for a really good show. And we're talking about a full hour here because there's a lot of really good content. So we probably need to get right into it.
We do, but before we do, we got to talk a little bit about games. Yes, we've been playing, because I got two big things to talk about. I'll start with Lake. I finished it. I got through Lake. It's so rare.
Okay. So,
I've seen Lake all the way through, and it was a lovely experience. Sans one massive bug that I have to tell you about because it's entertaining. It was one of the last days, like the second or third to last day, that you're there. I woke up, you know, went to the post office to do the whole thing, and you go out each morning, and you go out and you get in the truck and start driving around, and it works that way every morning. It's a nice little loop. Well, this morning, when it went to that portion to let me go walk to the truck, instead of, you know, it like showed Meredith in the truck there, but as soon as I took a step, it automatically teleported me to the lumberjack's place. You know, the lumberjack out in the woods.
Wow, yeah.
Without the truck. And so, like, it just played a cutscene. Like, if you would have went and delivered his mail that day or whatever, the cutscene that would play naturally when you went there. And so it played that cutscene. And then when the cutscene was, which I was like, okay, well, they're doing something a little bit different with the story today, you know, like, just taking me all the way out here to start with. But then as soon as the cutscene's over, I'm just standing there, like, in front of the lumberjack's house, without my truck. And the truck was still at the post office. And because it's all on autosave, like my last save, because it autosaved that moment. And so my last manual save was like 3 days before. And I'm like, I'm not playing through 3 days to get back to this point. So I just walked to my truck from the lumberjack, which took like half an hour in real life time to walk there. It's the most ridiculous thing. I'm just like, well, I guess Meredith is going for a hike today. So most ridiculous bug.
So I'm glad that you brought that up, because I am right where you talked about on the last show. I just delivered the synthesizer.
Nice.
Made me laugh. I'm like, that's the most hilarious thing. I don't know if you had this problem, but I delivered it. I don't know where you delivered it, but I delivered it to Moe's Diner.
Oh, okay.
And it's this big box. Like it's a full on like 80 synthesizer, right? And so I delivered it to Moe's because what's her face was there working. I don't know if that always happens.
I think so. Now that I'm thinking about it, I think I did too.
But I thought it was interesting because I got it out of the truck. It's this big, like, huge, like, box. Like, Meredith is having trouble carrying it. And then I walk up to the door at Moe's. And I can't get through the door. Like, I run because the box is too big. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I'm like, well, crap, this is a problem. I'm like, can we go sideways? Or, like, it took me, like, 5 minutes to figure out how to finagle to get through the door with this box, right? And then you deliver it. And like, she just opens it right there on the counter. And I'm like, okay, yeah, you're in a diner with this synthesizer that you've just paid, I don't know how much money for. And it's just sitting on the counter at Moe's. Yeah. Like, it's this hilarious thing. And I like that you brought up the real time, because my favorite thing, and I hate to admit it, but my favorite thing in Lake is the autopilot.
Oh, yeah.
And there's no logic to the autopilot, like when it allows you to use the autopilot. But I like the autopilot because it's a little faster. It's not a lot faster, so you still see all the scenery and all that good stuff. Mm-hmm. But it's a little faster than driving it yourself. And you just get to chill.
Yeah.
So I haven't figured out when you can use autopilot to get somewhere. Like, it's not consistent. I thought it was, like, places that you had already been. But I'd been to the Lumberjack's place several times. And, it let me autopilot there once, and then it didn't let me autopilot there a second time. And so I don't really get that, but I thoroughly enjoy the autopilot. I have probably, I don't know how long the game is. Like, I'm right in the middle of the second week. Frank's got some problems, which I think is great. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, like, it does get kind of fun. Like, it does, you know, it's still, like, there's nothing, like, supernatural that happens. It doesn't turn into Life is Strange or anything like that. But it is just kind of slice of life, fun, just random little storylines of, like, bored people in Oregon. And what they kind of get into because they're bored because it's the middle of nowhere, Oregon.
Let me ask you this. Did you date the video store girl?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. Because that totally did not go the way I expected it to go. So I played that out.
Yep.
And there's this option to kiss her at the end, and I'm thinking, well, okay, this is a little, this is very 1986.
Mm-hmm.
And so I let that happen, and then the next time you see her, like, three of the conversation options are, we should just be friends. And so I'm like, okay, maybe that's the way this is supposed to go. And so I went with that, and then the next line out of her mouth is, "Yeah, I'm closing up the shack and I'm leaving."
Yeah.
And so yeah, I'm thinking I made the right choice there, but that was extremely interesting,
yeah.
and it wasn't something like we played video games a long time and done the romance stuff in Mass Effect and various other games. I did not see that coming.
Yeah.
Like, she started calling me babe, and I was like, okay, maybe she's just one of those people. and then there was that. So yeah. I was very surprised at that. I thought it was kind of neat.
Yeah.
I
did too. It's interesting for a lot of reasons that it's set in 1986 and has the potential. You don't have to follow that line, but a potential for a gay relationship, which, like, everybody's just cool about. You know, like, there's no, yeah, like, conversation about it being a gay relationship. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, well, you can hook up with her. You can hook up with the dude. Like, you've got two love interests in the story. You could actually do them both, because that's what I did. You can kind of,
oh really,
you have to make a choice at one point.
Right,
but you can do all the kind of romantic options with both of them, you know, up until the point that you have to choose. And so that's why I'm going to see both of these stories out, you know. I kind of want to see how they both go, and then at the end I chose, you know, kind of which direction I wanted to go.
Yeah.
But it is cool that you just have that option in there.
I'm
curious if you could make a different decision where she doesn't close up the video store. I think, yeah, the game is linear. I don't think that's probably a way that plays out, but I was curious about that because I did the same thing that you did. And so she's like, yep, bye. And it is just gone the next day, you know. It's like, oh, well, she closed up the store. But I was curious that if you were like, or if you like did better in choosing movies for like the little video portable VCR thing, if like it
which
would
is awesome
better.
By the way,
it was a fun little side quest, but like the fisherman dude, like I gave him the wrong movie, you know. He was,
yeah,
like,
me too.
Which one,
yeah,
did you give him?
I gave him the Dirty Dozen.
I did too. See,
and,
yep,
and that was a mistake because I figured old guy. And
exactly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Me too. But like Jaws would have made sense too. And so, yeah. So I'm curious, like, maybe if I would have given him Jaws, would he like him suddenly come to the video store, then it would have been viable? What, I don't know. I haven't got it looked. I need to just look it up and see kind of, you know, if there are that many branching options or if it all actually plays out the same and just gives you the faux feeling of choice with what you do, but it's just dialogue that changes.
Can we, and I'm glad that you brought up Life is Strange, because it's sort of a Life is Strange vein without the superpowers. But I'm finished it. I have a little ways to go. But I have to say, I want more of this.
Yeah.
I want more of this type of thing. Like, it doesn't necessarily have to be Lake, but I really like this concept.
Yes.
I don't know why, because it's very different than even Firewatch.
Yes.
Because there's more drama even in Firewatch
than
there is in this.
Easy.
But you're not doing anything. You mentioned something last show. This is one of those games that is really nice to take some feels. This show brought to you by feels.com. And just get the truck and go. And it's just I can't explain to you the feeling. I know that you know what I'm talking about, but I can't articulate. It's just really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with that. I just looked up because I was curious. So I go to the gaming suggestions Reddit a lot. I love that Reddit subreddit. And so I just pulled it up and just Google, you're killing it. Just give me, say, Google anytime I type into a search box.
Yep.
That's great. Searched on Reddit to see, you know, like what other recommendations that people had that played Lake. And the two that popped up were Firewatch. No surprise there, but you're spot on with that. But the other one is A Short Hike, which I've seen many times, but I haven't touched. I think I might even have it in a Humble Bundle package somewhere. I'm going to go back and look. But people really like A Short Hike. I think we need to pick that one up and check it out.
Yep. It's really interesting, and I think you guys will probably play it and go, Jamie and Tom are stupid.
Right.
Who has time to play this? I gotta have some more action, but I think a lot of it has to do, as most things with you and I are at this point, a lot of it has to do with where we are in our lives. You have two jobs. I have like four jobs, and we're both stressed out. Like, I have a full day today. I don't really want to go do what I'm going to do, but I'm going to do. And then by the time the end of tomorrow comes, we're both going to be wiped. And it's just really nice to sit in some environment and just chill.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. Like,
for sure.
there's nothing really, there's no real drama here. You just kind of do the thing, and the story's good enough to keep you interested. Like, they did things, you mentioned the side quest, they did things that I was like, okay, yeah, I didn't expect, like, the cat. Like, the cat was the most random thing ever, like... Like, this lady, you go to this lady's house, and she's like, I got this sick cat. Can you take it to what's-his-face at the lake? And Meredith's going, I don't know if I can do that.
Yeah.
And then right after that, the male boss guy shows up and talks about using male... assets for personal gain. Yeah. And I'm going, I totally just got busted. So the way that they did it, I don't know how else to put it other than it was very natural.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. They did a really, really good job with it. It felt organic and is, again, just that chill, fun, random thing. So I highly recommend that. The other one I'm going to mention really quick is Deathloop, because we talked about that in the last show. I have not put much more time into that. Well, I have. Let me tell you the story, and then we can talk a little bit about the game itself. I have put a pretty significant amount of time into it. You haven't seen it, because I've ran into two issues. The first one is an issue with the PlayStation 5 that actually first happened during E3 while I was at your house. that apparently is a big issue that a lot of people have ran into, which is it crashes when it's in rest mode. And so you put it in rest mode, you come back to fire it up, and like you just press a button on your controller to turn it on, and it won't turn on, and then you have to manually turn it on, and it gives you the screen that says it wasn't shut down properly last time, has to rebuild. Same thing happened on PlayStation 4, like if you unplugged it or something like that. That happened a few times while I was at your place. That happened for a long time. And then just recently again started happening and got to the point with playing Deathloop that it happened every time that I put it in rest mode playing Deathloop. And so I haven't figured out if it's something specific with Deathloop or if it's just something with the PlayStation. But it escalated to the point that my PS5 wouldn't boot a couple
days
ago.
That's not good.
That is not good. So, A, it's super expensive. And B, you still can't find them, and I really want to play on the PS5. And so I was kind of like freaking out of how do I fix this? And so I, you know, Googled, searched and landed on a Reddit thread and went through all the stuff. And finally, the thing that fixed it, I was able to fix it. But the thing that fixed it was a factory reset, going through safe mode on the PlayStation 5 and doing a factory reset. So I lost all of my downloads and everything else. Luckily, I have fast internet, and so that's not terrible. I got most of stuff loaded back on it, just leaving it downloading over a couple hours. But still, a big hassle, big pain, took a lot of time. But got it back working, got Deathloop re-downloaded. Cloud saves are the best thing in the world. Thank goodness there's cloud saves, so I was able to pick up right where I was. And same thing still happens. And so I played through the beginning section at Updom. That's just right at, you know, after kind of the like tutorial basically mode that just the first like let you out into the world kind of part. I have played that at least a dozen times at this point.
Yeah, and I was gonna ask about that because I was watching along there, we're all good, and you were like there. You had gotten to where you were supposed to go and you were trying to figure out how to get in. And then the next video, it was like you reset. And I was like, did he die? What happened? What happened there?
And the pure irony of it is that it's a time loop game. And so you're going to replay this section again. Like, I know we're going to be back here. But that's not what's happened. It's not been the game design time loop that I've been doing. It's been the PlayStation won't go into rest mode. Or then one time when I got to his apartment, did all that stuff.
Yeah.
The game crashed on me right there and I had to go back. This is the part where Deathloop has an issue. Deathloop doesn't have a save function. It is only autosave. You can't manually save in it.
And
it only autosaves when you go between places. And so the fact that I hadn't gotten to the next place yet, which I still haven't because of all these issues, it doesn't save. And so still right now, my Deathloop in the other room is at starting right there before you go out into Updom for the first time. It's just driving me nuts. So yeah, Arcane, I get what you're doing. Like, fantastic. You want it to be very like the different, like there's a day cycle, you know, and so different times of days and different locations that you're going to during the day and all that stuff. Like, I get why you want that to be kind of the loading points. But man, give us a quick save. Like that.
Yeah.
That's hard. If my rest mode on my PlayStation 5 worked, I'd be okay because I could just put it in rest mode and pick it up. But the fact that my PlayStation crashes every time I put it in rest mode while playing your game and your game doesn't have a quick save, I just like, I can't dedicate a chunk of time to play a game to get to the next save point like I could when I was a kid. I have to be able just to stop in the middle of what I'm doing. Yeah. You know, you watch me play games all the time. I stop like in the middle of lines of dialogue, you know, like it's a pain. But it's just a reality of my life. I just don't have any other choice. And so I'm just like right now, it's almost unplayable for me because it doesn't have a quick save and it crashes my PlayStation when I put it in rest mode.
We have to talk about quick save just real quick. I'm glad you brought that up because that was a big deal in the Nintendo thing that we're going to talk about in a minute. That they had some quick save stuff to some of the older games, which we'll get to that in a second. For every developer out there, if anybody's listening to us, I don't care what your reason is, you have to put in a quick save. I need it because I'm crippled and I don't have time. He needs it because he doesn't have time. Look, every game that is developed at this point needs a quick save. Period. I don't care what your development reasons are. We're 40 something years old and we want to play games and this is what we need. You can give me every development reason in the world. Well, this is why we did it or why we didn't do it and we want you to feel this way and have to go through this process. Don't care. Because what's going to happen is because you made that design decision, we don't have time to go through this over and over again. We're going to throw your game away and go do something else because exactly. There's no time. Like, there's no time. There must be a quick save at this point.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, you know, I was playing Mass Effect Andromeda for a while. That's a big problem that Mass Effect Andromeda has. There's no quick save. And there's no mod.
Yeah. That's the other thing. If you can mod any kind of quick save, then great. But yeah, if that's not an option, which is not here either, yeah. Again, I get it. Like, good on you for trying to be, you know, like, intentional in your development thing. But it's just, it's not like I'm somehow cheating the game by having a quick save or not being able to cheat the game because I don't have a quick save. I've just played the same part of your game. Now, granted, I could get from, you know, that starting point to Colt's apartment in like a minute and a half now. I know the route. Right. I know where everybody is. I know how to like take down the people I have to take down, sneak past. Like, I've got it down. So for the little time loop element, like, okay, I've got some practice at this point, you know. But yeah, it just, I want to pick it back up. I want to continue on in that game. I know I have to have time dedicated to do it right now.
Yes.
And that's if I'm like, okay, well, I might get interrupted, I'm going to go play something else that I can get interrupted during and it's not going to be a big deal. So, yeah.
Can I just add real quick before we get off the Deathloop because I'm curious. It does some things that I've never seen before. Like, you can tag each enemy.
Yep.
So that they show up around you and you know where they are and you don't have to be right in front of them. But it shows you, for some bizarre reason that I don't understand, what they're carrying. And I don't get that. Is there some sort of game design element that I'm not seeing?
Yeah.
Because it does. It shows you what weapon they're carrying. And I'm like, why do I need to know that?
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, and I think it'll become a bigger thing as we get deeper into the game. Just right now in the kind of intro place, everybody's got a basic loadout, so you don't care. But I think it's a way to say, hey, this guy's actually carrying something you might want. And so you might be tempted to just sneak around and not try to take these people out, this group of people with this one guy that has this nice weapon or whatever. But if you can figure out how to take them out, you can get that nice weapon. And it's a game that's very much built upon the weapon system. I know that much just from the reviews that I've seen of it. Like, the weapons are a big, big deal. And so knowing if somebody has a weapon that you want, then you can, you know, change your strategy. As opposed to just having to kill everybody in the game to see what the random drop is, it gives you some sense of what the drop will be, which is kind of cool. Again, it hasn't really come in handy yet. That's my anticipation of how it will work. It also shows you, like, this guy's, like, ready to fight, you know? Or this guy's like, whatever, I don't care. It's just a normal day. And so it gives you some sense of, like, how the AI reacts. The AI is, it's fine in the game.
Yeah.
It's not super challenging at this point. I imagine it will ramp up, of course. We're still very, very early for all the issues we talked about. But I think the system, if it's executed well, could be kind of cool that it gives you just those little details.
So, talking about AI real quick, and then that's where we'll move. There was one area with the chick asleep in the chair that you like came up on her, and I'm like, you were trying to sneak. I knew what you were doing, and it was trying to tell you to sneak, and I'm like, he's trying to sneak. But it didn't really work out because, like, it's clunky in some places, and that's one of those areas that is really clunky. There's no real way to get to her without waking her up, and I thought, ooh, he's gonna die. And
well,
and you got lucky, or you looked real good. but you took out like three people with a knife, and I was like, wow, that was really cool.
Yeah, the bigger problem is wasn't that the sneaking was awful, which I'm still figuring it out. One time I accidentally shot a gun when I was trying to peek around the corner and alerted the whole group, which was fun. But the problem is that there were two other people in that room that I didn't know were there. And so I'm like sneaking in. I'm like, ha, I'm going to kill this person. There's like two people like just watching me like, what's this guy doing? You know, and I like slash the one chick and they're like, oh, shoot him, you know. Yeah, it turned into a big old fight, which is fun. Yeah. The gameplay is fun. I think the game's going to be great. I'm just frustrated about that one thing. So.
Yeah.
All that said, really, really quickly, because we got to get into all this Nintendo stuff. Thank you, Feels.com. Feels.com is sponsoring this show, as you well know at this point. And so go by Feels.com/GU podcast to get 50% off that first order and free shipping. Premium CBD products. We love it. We've been using it a ton. It's fantastic.
We need you guys to go over there and spend money. Use that promo code because we have now paid Feels.com more money, both of us, than they are paying us each month to do the show. And so we really need them to stick around for, oh, I don't know, another year to make up the money that we're spending. We definitely need you guys to go over there and spend some money because the amount of money that you and I are spending at Feels.com is getting ridiculous.
It is, but it's all worth it.
Yes.
It's a great product. Their primary product is a tincture, just a couple of drops under your tongue. Helps relieve anxiety, stress, sleep. Man, I've
been
sleeping good. That's the best thing in the world. I had a really hard day one day this week, doubled up my nightly dose and slept like a baby. You know, just great. Just fantastic. So they also have the mints, which I know you have some of the mints. I'm excited. Yes. The mints are back ordered right now, and so I'm waiting for my to be able to get a shipment of the mints. But I'm excited about those. I'm as excited about those as I am the tincture. And so
the mint for you will be a great work product.
Yes.
Like that will be something that you will take to work and you'll have that there and it'll just make your day better.
Yeah, that's my plan is mint in the morning, on the way to work, tincture at night before I go to bed, and just, you know, there you go. Feels all the way. So once again, it's feals.com/GU podcast, feels.com/GU podcast. Go show them some love. Show us some love. Get a great product. You get more of us. Everybody wins. We love
Yes.
it.
4 weeks in a row. We said it before. We'll say it again. As long as they keep paying us, we'll be here.
So go make sure they keep paying us so we get to stay here. All that said, Nintendo Direct, let's get through a whole bunch of news here. And so we'll hit on a few things that weren't the big news and we'll spend a good bit of time on big news. New Monster Hunter Rise DLC. People love Monster Hunter Rise. Cool.
Yeah.
It's one of those games. We talk about this all the time. Like, if we had more time, Monster Hunter is a game that I bet we would be into, but we just have too much other stuff to play. Mario Party Superstars, we knew this was coming, is October 29th is the release date. They showed off a little bit more about it, specifically some boards from the N64 version. The N64 had a pretty good Nintendo Direct, and so we'll get more into that here in a little bit. Mario Party is going to be super fun. It's just super fun. We talked about this during our live coverage that Genevieve is just going to fall in love with Mario Party. She's just going to love this thing all the way, which makes me super happy because I love Mario Party. I think Mario Party is super fun. And so all those mini games, figuring out the ones that she can do well, all that stuff. Yeah, Mario Party's great.
Yeah, and that's the thing with all of this stuff that we're about to talk about, there's not a single dud in here anywhere.
Yeah,
this is Nintendo at its best, and I got a kick out of Spider on the Facebook page talking about what he saw and he's excited about. This was old God Nirvana, basically, is what this was. and Nintendo just knocked it out of the park.
Yeah, They know how to do nostalgia, and we'll get into that more here in just a little bit. But it really is, I just love it. Voice of Cards, the Isle Dragon Roars, which is a weird name, but it's a Square Enix tabletop card game. It's a video game, so not an actual tabletop card game. A video game that is in the style of a tabletop card game that actually looks really cool, like looks kind of fun, interesting, and. That has a demo. I haven't played the demo yet. I need to go pick up the demo for that because they did drop a demo on Thursday along with the announcement. So Square Enix had a big show in this too. There was a few things from Square that we saw. Disco Elysium is coming to the Switch, which it's great. It's a great platform for Disco Elysium. Just feels very weird to have that game on a Nintendo console.
So that is the one game out of the whole bunch that I have Disco Elysium installed. I played it for a grand total of 10 minutes. Like I, but it's not that Disco Elysium is not that game that you feel like you need to have it plugged into the dock and yes. on a 4K screen. It's the ultimate mobile title. And so if you're going to have your Switch in a backpack, which you do a lot of the time, I know.
Yes.
That it's the ultimate mobile game. I'm really excited to see how that works on the Switch.
Yeah, me too. It just seems to make a lot of sense. It's coming as a digital title on October 12th, so just a couple weeks away. It is actually getting a physical release next year sometime, which rare that we get some of these games that have physical releases. So good for them there. Hyrule Warriors is getting an expansion pass. Just again, it's fine. Chocobo GP, Final Fantasy kart racing game. Speaking of Square Enix, so you're gonna be Chocobo on rollerblades.
Which Chocobo has wings.
Yeah,
Chocobo can fly
theoretically, so and they just run really fast. Like they don't even like. Why aren't they just running? Like. Isn't that like the whole thing of chocobos? Why they're like your transportation in Final Fantasy? It's because they can run fast?
I feel like, here comes another old guy reference. I feel like that there's a boss hog chocobo somewhere that's like, I don't want to run. Just give me some rollerblades. I'm too fat. Let's go. I got to catch those Duke boys. Just give me some rollerblades and let's go with it. And if you don't get that, Google the Duke boys.
Because we are old.
Serious old guy reference right there. I don't really understand it. You and I got really excited because we remember rollerblades growing right. up.
Yeah, this is starting to get into the heavy nostalgia stuff. Now this is a new game, it's not a remake or anything like that. But it is based off of characters that we grew up with, right? Like Final Fantasy characters, chocobos, that kind of stuff. It is very Mario Kart derivative, with like the items and stuff. But like it has spells and you can upgrade the spells, and so you get fire and then fire run and Faraga or however you pronounce right. them. But you get like the progression of spells like you get in Final Fantasy games in this cart. I don't know. It's interesting. Kirby, we got a new Kirby announcement. Speaking of nostalgia, Kirby and the Forgotten Land, which is post-apocalyptic Kirby. It's like like nature has reclaimed the city Kirby, which is kind of fascinating.
The Last of Us Kirby is what I said.
Was waiting for life. Like a giraffe to come walking by and all of that. It's still very cutesy and Kirby with this like post-apocalyptic setting, which is interesting, a little strange, but cool. I haven't played a Kirby game in a long, long time. It looks like it could be really fun, and so maybe one we pick up.
So the interesting thing about all these that I want to talk a little bit more about when we finish, but like. What Nintendo did was they said, here's all of these games, and they all look really interesting. And so I'm trying to calculate the amount of money that Nintendo is going to make at 20 bucks a pop, because we all have to try all of these titles.
Right.
Like it's crazy, because like even Spider on the Facebook page was talking about one that we're going to talk about in just a second. He's like, I'm going to go get that immediately. And I'm thinking that's exactly what Nintendo wants with all of this.
Yeah, 100%. And a lot of these are things that either drop same day. That one you mentioned is that way. Or are coming soon. And so they're good at that. Animal Crossing is getting new content, but they didn't detail it, just told us it was coming and that they'll have an Animal Crossing Direct, which, okay. Mario Golf Super Rush got new content. I fired this up yesterday and played for a little while, a couple of new courses and new characters and that kind of stuff, which was cool. Speaking of things that Genevieve will love, Disney Magical World 2 Enchanted Edition is coming to Switch, which is just being able to dive into all of the different Disney worlds. They showed off Frozen, of course, Mickey Mouse, and like classic fairy tales with like Snow White and that kind of stuff. Genevieve is big into Disney World, loves Frozen, watches Mickey Mouse every single day. And so eat this up.
Can I make a request? And this is not something I should ask you on the air, but I'm going to anyway. I'm 42 years old. And I have never been to a Disney property. I know at some point that little girl is going to go to Disney. I'm going to request that we go as a show, kind of as a family thing, because I have never been to a Disney property and I really want to go with a kid.
Yeah.
Like, that's really what I want to do. So yeah. I think we need to make a show trip to Disney World.
That would be a blast. I love Disney World. I'm 38 years old and I love it to death. I think Disney World's awesome. So, it's great. A little more nostalgia for you. This is one of my favorite announcements from the whole show, just because it cracked me up. So, of course, Sony did a show a week ago. It was huge and had all kinds of big announcements. And their big leadoff announcement was that they were remaking Knights of the Old Republic. And there's this Knights of the Old Republic remake coming. So Nintendo said, we'll show you. And they're just re-releasing the old Knights of the Old Republic on the Switch. And so you can wait around for the remake, or you can go get the old version. I think it's technically a remastered version, but it's very much the same version that we played 20 years ago, coming November 11th on Switch. So there you go.
This was the only area in the direct where I died a little bit inside. Look, I literally screamed out loud because that's not what I want to see, even on the Switch. Don't want to see that. Thank you.
Can I just say that game is hideous? Like, in today's standards, just an ugly game. Like,
yeah.
I will wait for the remake. I'm happy to wait for the remake.
Do you know that back in the day when we played it, you had to have a pretty serious rig to play that game.
Yeah.
Like, that was one of those that was an upgrade title.
Yep.
It's amazing where we have come to at this point, because that was seriously was a very massive title. And one thing I will mention, I did not mention during the live thing, I really hope that there is, if EA is going to do a remaster, which will not appear on the Switch, but if they end up doing a remaster, I hope they add Mandalorian content, because I would play that.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
That would be some good. Just have him show up with Baby Yoda somewhere. Like, that would be very interesting to me.
Yeah, and I'm curious of if they are going to add a big chunk of new content in that remake that they're doing on the PlayStation for another day, but yeah. We saw a little bit more of Triangle Strategy, which is new Square Enix. I mentioned Square Enix just had a big, big Nintendo show. Lots of Square Enix news in here. This is that very Octopath Traveler-looking game, but like tactics, combat-based. It looks so cool. It really, really looks cool. I'm digging that one. They showed off some of, they had a demo that came out earlier this year. They showed off some of the changes they made off the feedback, including adjustable camera angles, which seems like such a silly thing, but it's a big thing in a tactics based game. And in this world that looks the way it does, it's also just super cool. Like that Octopath kind of visual style, but with a adjustable camera angle. It's very cool. So,
yep.
Saw that. Saw more Metroid Dread tease stuff. Nothing newsy about it. This comes out in just over a week. And so this is right around the corner. And so, yeah, it's still gorgeous and going to be amazing and looking forward to that. And then this is the part where we freaked out. this gets into the heavy nostalgia trip part with an announcement that a lot of us have been waiting for a long time. The not so great part of this announcement, but possibly, definitely in some ways, is that they're expanding their online service to have different tiers. So the current tier of the online is $20 a year, I think, right? Something like that. It's not much.
Yeah, it's cheap.
So they're adding a new one. And initially, my reaction was, well, why are you doing that? Because you already have this. It's cheap and it's great. And you get all the features you want or whatever. And then they announce what's going to be on that one versus what's on the one currently. And that is an N64 virtual console, which already, we're not done yet, but already is fantastic. They showed off that it'll have Ocarina of Time at launch, Mario Kart, Mario Tennis.
I think Majora's Mask was in there.
Majora's Mask is at launch. It's coming. Okay. That and F-Zero are coming, but not going to be there at launch. There were a couple other really big titles in there. But, of course, if you played N64 games, it's going to be very, very nostalgic for you. Mario 64, of course. Mario 64, just a great, great Mario title. And so lots of really good stuff there. That's enough for me. You got me at an N64 virtual console. But they're also going to have a Sega Genesis virtual console as well.
Yeah.
which blew my mind.
Talk about flipping out. If you want to see us lose our minds on live video, that's what happened during that.
Yes.
During that segment.
Just wild.
And I think it's because that was right in the sweet spot of our teenage gaming that's me remembering when I was 13 years old and didn't have anything else to do other than go to school and play video
exactly.
games.
Exactly.
And that it's that feel. And we always have, we've had this dream of having this studio space with big TVs and consoles lined up everywhere. Now it's all in one box. Let's still want to line the consoles up just to say we have them and have this right. really cool looking stuff. That's why I'm ordering consoles at this point. But they're all in one box. And
it's a box that you can take with you.
Yes.
You can play every single one of these portably now, which again, as a child, is exactly what I wanted and wasn't possible at the time. Now it's possible and it's all going to come with me. Of course, there's much higher tech games that I can play on the Switch than Sega Genesis and N64 games. But I love the nostalgia of it. And there's definitely games in here I'm going to play.
Yeah, it's one of those that these are games that you're going to play. They're games that you're probably not going to play through, but the thing with it is, and you talked about it earlier with the Deathloop, if you've just got 10, 15, 20 minutes to go through a level, whether it be Sonic or whatever it may be, this is going to scratch that itch. We talk about games on iOS and games on the cell phone all the time. Forget that. I'm playing this.
Absolutely.
It's not even close. Yeah.
100%. If you're looking for nostalgia, I'd much rather play these games on a Switch with controllers than on a phone. But yeah, no doubt. Real quick, I'll mention a couple of things. The games that we have confirmed so far with the Sega Genesis Virtual Console, whatever they call it, online games. Some of them, Castlevania Bloodlines, Echo the Dolphin. I loved Echo the Dolphin.
Yep.
Golden Axe, Shining Force. I freaked out over Shining Force. Just a great RPG. Sonic the Hedgehog 2, Streets of Rage 2, Phantasy Star 4, Shinobi 3, Strider. A really solid grouping of Sega games. And the thing with these online consoles is that they keep expanding. Like, there's a ton more NES and SNES games at this point than they launched with. They'll keep adding to these, which is super exciting too.
You mentioned Shining Force. It's not just Shining Force. It's everything in that IP. It's all of the Shining Force games, if I'm hearing correctly.
I don't know if that's true yet, but it probably will expand. If it's not, I wouldn't see why it wouldn't expand to include more. It's just nuts. Also, I'll mention, because we were talking about QuickSave, the brilliant thing about this virtual console set up on the Switch is that it has a built-in QuickSave like an emulator does. And so you can quick save in all these games, which is a game changer too, because obviously these are old games with save points that didn't have quick saves naturally. But now you can actually quick save on your Switch and restore a save point, whatever they call them. I don't remember the terminology they use, but it's a quick save. That makes this much more doable for somebody like me that's always on the go.
Going back to what I said earlier, If this is possible in these old games that were not designed for quick save, I don't want to hear from any current developer that they can't do a quick save or that it would be hard, because I think if any game's going to be hard to do a quick save, it's going to be these old games that absolutely were not designed to do that. So I don't want to hear anything from any developer at this point why a quick save is not doable.
Yeah. Again, it's obviously a design decision, not a technical limitation. Also, I'll mention you can get a wireless 64 and/or wireless Sega Genesis controller for these new games if you want the old school controller feel in a modern package, each of which will land you $50. $50 for an N64 controller. I don't know that I could justify that. That controller, by the way, is fairly miserable. It's just a weird, weird controller that was brilliant at the time because it was an analog stick and changed the world. But, like, the modern controllers are just way better. So I'd much rather have a modern controller to play 64 games with.
Here's what I want, if anybody is listening, and we've got a big interview coming up on Tuesday, which is going to be a lot of fun for us. But here's what I want, if anybody in Nintendo is listening. I want, those controllers are nice, but what I want is an adapter, because I still have my original Arcade Shark N64 controller that is fully compatible. I want to be able to plug that bad boy in and play all of these. I'll buy a Switch tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, here's my money. I will buy a Switch tomorrow. Somebody get me an adapter, because I'll go crazy on this virtual console. I will. Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. A couple other announcements getting into retro stuff. The Shadowrun trilogy is being re-released on Switch, which looks pretty cool. Shadowrun, one of those games I played a little bit a long time ago. Haven't picked up since. Castlevania is getting an advanced collection that includes Circle of the Moon, Harmony of Dissonance, Aria of Sorrow, and Dracula X. Those were all on Game Boy Advance or Super Nintendo, I think. So just a collection of Castlevania games that has quick save. They showed off. A little while ago. And so good. Nostalgia there. And then one other big one, a remake of a 90s Super Nintendo game, ActRaiser, is coming back, which ActRaiser was a super cool game. ActRaiser Renaissance, which is very, very slick looking. Again, a remake of this game with modern graphics. It's both a side-scrolling platformer combat game and this kind of city-building thing. You kind of go back and forth, which is a weird mechanic, but I remember that from my youth.
You conquer a place and then you build.
Yeah, which is kind of a cool idea. Yeah, it's a remastered, remade version of that, which looks super cool and is out. Came out on Thursday after they announced it. And so this is kind of surprise announcement there. It's also on PC. I noticed it on Steam when I fired up Steam the other day. So not just on the Switch, which is cool. So that was the stuff we were really excited about. There are a few more announcements. I'll mention really quick Splatoon 3. we're not Splatoon people, and so we're kind of whatever. And then the one they ended with, and then I'll save the movie thing for last because we got to spend a little bit of time talking about that. The thing they ended with was Bayonetta 3, a game that was announced several years ago, has been kind of silent since they finally came back, showed off a little bit of gameplay, a big cutscene, says it's coming next year. You and I, neither one are really excited about Bayonetta, and so this didn't do a lot for us, but it's a big game and whatever, so.
I just can't.
There was nothing about this that convinced me that I needed to play it. So of all the things we saw, that wasn't it. But we did get a little bit of Miyamoto in this. Miyamoto came out to talk not about a video game, but about the animated Mario movie that's in the works, that's being done with Illumination Entertainment, which I believe is old Pixar people. I know it's they worked on Despicable Me, and so, like, you know, people that that have a background in making animated movies, which is good. But the big news was that they announced the cast of the Mario movie, who's going to voice all these characters in this animated Pixar style Mario movie, and they are nuts. The announcements here were just crazy. So Mario, and this is the one that obviously has gotten the most attention, and if you haven't heard this at this point, you are not following gaming news very much. Mario is going to be played by Chris Pratt of Star-Lord fame, and before that, of Parks and Rec. Chris Pratt will always be Andy Dwyer to me. Is now going to be Mario, which just blows my mind.
So, you mentioned this. It's probably been 6 months ago or 8 months ago about the fact that Chris Pratt is literally in everything. And we can say it again after seeing this. He's literally in everything. And I don't really mean, like, he's a good actor. Okay, cool. I mean, for crying out loud, I think it would probably make more sense to have Tony Soprano play Mario, but, you know, whatever.
Yeah, or somebody that's Italian. But yeah.
But okay.
Yeah.
So I don't really see Mario as a sex symbol, but, you know, whatever.
It's the most bizarre casting that might work. Because Chris Pratt, he just plays these ridiculous characters, even in these action movies. Star-Lord is a ridiculous character. Jurassic Park, his character, Jurassic World, I don't remember his name. But he's a kind of ridiculous character, like just over-the-top stuff. And so. That was the first shocker. Just did not expect Chris Pratt's face to pop up in the middle of my Nintendo Direct. And then Anya Taylor-Joy is Princess Peach. She is best known as the lead from The Queen's Gambit, which I didn't watch, but the sexy sidekick really, really enjoyed. It's apparently a good show. Charlie Day from It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia as Luigi. That's a good guess. Jack Black as Bowser, which is also just... I mean, if you're going to cast somebody as Bowser, I don't know who you get. That's better than that. Keegan-Michael Key will be Toad. Seth Rogen will be Donkey Kong. Fred Armisen is one of the little Kongs, not Diddy Kong, one of the Cranky Kong. I don't remember. But Fred Armisen's in there. They will have Charles Martinet, who has voiced Mario in all the games. He will be featured in there, even though he's not doing the voice of Mario here. He will be featured as well. And so it wasn't even on my radar that this movie was happening. I think we had maybe saw it pop up once upon a time because it wasn't an announcement of the movie. They don't have a trailer or anything like that yet. It's coming still. But just the cast announcement was enough to, like, boggle our minds.
So here's the thing. If there was ever a movie set that was going to have a lot of weed and a lot of mushrooms on it, that's what this movie set's going to be. And I just wish I could be there.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff. I am glad that it's animated. I am very glad that it's animated.
We don't ever need to do live action Mario again.
Yeah.
Just no reason for that. Animated Mario works perfectly, perfectly fine with that. We can do animated Marios for sure. So that was the big news from the Nintendo Direct. Again, hit us right in the nostalgia with just the the N64 thing. I'm so pumped about Sega Genesis games. It's super great, and then some other fun stuff in there as well. And so Nintendo, I just love the fact that Sony did this big PlayStation 5 showcase a week ago, and Nintendo's like, okay, well, we'll show you a bunch of old games and get you just as excited. And we're like, yep, you did.
Yep. and let's be honest, they're probably going to get more of our money than Sony will. I mean,
probably so.
That's what's a little scary about the whole thing.
Yes, for sure. So all that said, to kind of wrap up here at the end, I will mention game releases because there are actually several significant game releases that have happened just in the past week or so. I'll mention Lost Judgment because it's getting so much kind of hype. It's out on PlayStation 5, I think it's out on multiple consoles. Yeah, Series X, PlayStation 4, I would think. Maybe not. Anyway, this is Sky 83 currently on Metacritic. Like I said, people are really, really into it. It's not my thing. It's that, what's the name of that franchise? I'm blanking on the name of the franchise that it comes from. But anyway, set in Japan, you're accused of doing something that you didn't do. And then the whole thing is like a mystery figuring that out. So again, apparently really good. I've just seen a lot of talk about it. Death Stranding Director's Cut has an 86 on Metacritic. Apparently has fixed some significant issues from the original, which was already great. Diablo 2 Resurrected is officially out. And so that's got an 83 currently on Metacritic. So all these solidly 80 games, pretty solid. Kena Bridge of Spirits, which is the kind of Breath of the Wild-ish game that we saw at the very first PlayStation announcement, is out and has an 81 on Metacritic. So apparently it's also pretty good. And so Tales of Arise on PlayStation 4 is apparently really good. If you need a good JRPG itch, there you go. Life is Strange, I think we mentioned that in the last show, is officially out. Sable is out, a platformer that's been kind of floating around all these game shows for 3 or 4 years at this point, a long time. Very kind of cool art style to it. They had a demo during the Steam Indie Game Fest or whatever it's called. Skatebird is out, another one of those cases that showed up all over the place. So like I said, just a big week for game releases of things that we've been looking for. Skatebird apparently not that great, which isn't super surprising. You're skateboarding as a bird. But still, it's cute and worth, you know, playing. I think it's on Game Pass. I'm pretty sure it's on Game Pass. And so why not? It doesn't cost me any money extra to play it. I've been playing at some point, at least for a little bit. So
I saw
lots of stuff to play.
You mentioned it while we were on the air the other day for the live reaction thing. I saw the IGN review for Kena Bridge of Spirits. Apparently, it's pretty good. They gave it a solid 8, and we talk about how they tend to rate a little higher than what they need to. I think it's pretty good. As far as animation goes, you talk about studios that have done animation before. That game, which I did not realize until I saw the review, actually came from a studio that did movie animation to start. And this is their first game. And boy, it shows. Yeah. It's a really good looking game.
Yeah. Yeah. So. It's not one I have time for now, but one I hope I get to at some point. Yakuza is the series that Lost Judgment is part of. I just couldn't think of the name of that. So there you go. Anyway, lots of good games out there. There always are. But it's not slowing down either. Man, the first part, we get Metroid in a week. We've got a handful of games before the end of the year, including Halo. And then the turnaround, the first quarter of 2022 right now is just jam-packed. And so... Lots of games to play.
We gotta get together, sir. That's all there is to it.
Yes,
we gotta get together. We gotta spend some time together, because there's just a lot to look at right now. This is why I really love doing this show, because there is no other environment that we would get sit around and talk about this stuff, and every other person that we know, if we start talking about this stuff, looks at us like we're weird. Yeah. And we need to be real adults and have lives and whatnot. So I really love doing this show, especially when it gets crazy like this. And I'm not sure that we have seen a September, October like this in a very, very, very long time. Usually it's dead because the holiday season's coming up and everybody is preparing for that. But man, this should be, it's just nuts.
It's just nuts. We mentioned a couple in the Nintendo Direct that were released day of. I'll mention, because I just saw it on Steam, Castlevania Advance is also on Steam. And so wow. If you want to go pick up that Castlevania Advance collection, not on Switch, you can pick it up on Steam, which will be a great title on Steam, but also a great title for when that Steam Deck gets here too. And so, yeah, lots of good stuff.
And apparently the Steam Deck's really good.
I'm excited about that too, man.
It's good to be us at this point. We need more money.
We need more time. That's the problem. We've got some money. It's not we could always use more. Honestly, we if we had more money, we could have more time. But man, we gotta figure out how to find some time to play games, because there's a lot of good stuff. A
lot of great stuff. I'm not complaining. If I gotta have one hobby, this we pick the appropriate hobby.
Yes.
Because it doesn't get much better than this, and because we are being paid by Fuels.com, we've said this over and over again. We've got more content planned for you guys this week. We hope that goes off. We've got an interview planned for this week that's going to be very interesting that we've been waiting on for quite a while, and I'm very excited about that. And we've just got a lot of stuff going on. I feel like, remember when we started and we used to do this on Saturday and it was every week and we did the podcast and then we did the radio show. Like, that's what this is starting to feel like again. And I really like it. I hope you guys are enjoying it as well. We are very excited to be here. We hope you're liking what you hear. Please let us know if we need to talk about some stuff. There's lots of games out there, and obviously we don't get to everything. So if you want us to go in depth on something in particular, please let us know if you see something that we absolutely need to take a look at, because there's more stuff out there than we can get to. So please let us know. Or do us a favor, send us a segment.
Yes.
Because we actually have room for a segment show. So if you want to send us a segment, we've got this voicemail line that somebody needs to call that's not us.
Yes.
And that number is
509-GAME-210.
And of course it will hang up on you after 3 minutes, but call it back and we will flash it together.
Yes.
We want to hear from you, so please let us know what you think, because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. We got Patreon content over there. You need to check that out. It's a good time to be a patron. We appreciate those guys, and if you want to get involved with that, it's literally one click, and you're set up. So definitely go by, check that out. The Twitter is also interesting. I'm getting trolled on Twitter at this point, which I really enjoy. So go check out our Twitter as well. Other than that, is there anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
All right, I'm Jamie, that's Tommy, and this has been another episode of Gaming Uncensored, and we are out.
Would you like to submit a segment for the show? Send it to gamingandcensored@gmail.com. And don't worry, we'll play just about anything. Gaming Uncensored.